Psalm 119 in your Bibles today. Remember Judy's mother, Frances Drakeford. She has a wound on her leg that has not gotten well. Viva, how you doing with yours? Okay. Remember both these ladies about that. Please ask God's help and intervention. And continue to lift Joyce, please. Psalm 119, verse 1. Blessed. That word means happy. Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all thy commandments. I will praise thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned thy righteous judgments. I will keep thy statutes. Oh, forsake me not utterly. Psalm 119 is an unsigned psalm. We don't know who wrote it for sure. It is a poem exalting God's word. John Phillips wrote about it. We do not have a cold legalism of Mosaic precept, but the warmth of one in love with the Lord and his word. We have the passion of a poet, the law transfigured by love, demand elevated to desire, an edict replaced by emotion, fact matched by fervor, enforcement made easy by enjoyment. This psalm consists of 22 stanzas, each one having 8 verses. Contains 70 prayer requests. The psalmist uses 8 synonyms for the word of God. He uses the word law 24 times. It does not only refer to the commandments, because you would leave out psalms, you'd leave out the prophets. It refers to the whole word of God. Testimonies 19 times to refer to God's word. Precepts 20 times. Statutes 19 times. Commandments 22 times. Judgments or decisions 22 times. And the word 22 times. Another phrase is used referring to the word of God. Time and promise. These come from God who has given us his blessed word. Spurgeon wrote the first word, blessed, is happy. The psalmist said the word of God makes us happy. He regards it as the highest ideal of blessedness to be conformed to the word of God. There are 5 things I mentioned to you this morning. First of all, happy or blessed are persons in the way of the Lord. We know Jesus uses that expression, the way, for himself in John 14 in verse number 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And the way in the Psalms is referring to the aspect of our conduct. Secondly, happy are they in purity. It's a lot better to live when you know your heart is pure, that your sins are forgiven, that you're cleansed from the Lord, and you will be much happier in that vein than knowing there's guilt there and conviction there because of wrongdoing. Thirdly, we're happy in His Word. We, as a Bible-believing people, know the importance of the Word of God. Too many of our churches in this day and time have gotten away from the Word of God, and they've gotten into psychology and just counseling and seminar-type stuff that leaves out the Scripture or just takes a little precept from the Scripture and spends all of its time there, too often in a way of tickling the ears of what people want to hear. We're happy in His Word. We're happy hearing from the blessed Lord that God has spoken to us, that God has given us His completed Word. We are blessed people to live in this age in which we live, where we have the Holy Spirit who indwells us, where we have the completed Word of God, where we have the church as a ministry to His people, that we're gathered together. This building is not the church. You are the church. We are the people who are the people of God, and we are the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, we are the temple of God, not the building itself. And some have never learned that, and they're not seeking to be holy themselves. They're trying to make the windows holy. One little child looked at the church he was in, and they had these great big stained glass windows and had disciples on them, you know. And the little child was asked something, and he said, that's the place where you can't see because of the men standing in the window. That's pretty bad. We are to be able to see and see God in what is written in His Word. Happy are those hearing from the Lord. And then happy are they walking with God in fellowship. And that requires a cleansing of our life to be in fellowship with God. First of all, happy in the way of the Lord. The word way occurs 13 times in Psalm 119. The way is a course of conduct marked out by God's Word. We know it refers to the New Testament as the narrow way for Christians to walk. Sometimes that's a difficult way. But the broad way that invites much easier is a way that leads to destruction. It leads to disobedience. It leads away from God. And it ends in death and destruction. Which road are you on today? Are you on the road that's broad and living by your choices and living by your desires and living sinfully? Or are you walking with God in the straight and narrow path? The straight and narrow is not easy to live. It's not always something that we would choose to do. Sometimes it's a hard way. Remember Israel, when they went by a certain way in the wilderness journey, and the Bible says they were discouraged because of the way. It was hot and it was dry and it was a difficult path that they were on. But it was the right path. It was leading to the right place. It would be blessed by God and provided by God. And that's what we've got to remember, to stay close to the Lord and follow Him and follow the leading of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said in Psalm 119 that blessed are the undefiled in the way. The word undefiled comes from Hebrew. It is a word that basically means constant and complete. But it has more definitions than that. It also has to do with integrity and truth. So to be undefiled in God's eyes is for us to be consistent in our integrity and in truth. That's what it means to be undefiled. It is a word sort of like perfect. We know that we are not sinlessly perfect. That word has a meaning of being mature spiritually. And that's our goal as a Christian, to become spiritually mature, to become perfect in the Bible's definition. Not sinlessly perfect. There's only one that's ever been sinlessly perfect, and that's Jesus Christ. We're on the right road walking with God. We could easily get discouraged sometimes because it's hard to live the Christian life and do everything right, and we make mistakes, we sin, we falter, and we can easily get discouraged. Satan will work overtime on you when you're living for God and doing what is right, and something takes place in your family, some of your children get saved or something like that, and the next thing you know, the Satan is working overtime on you to discourage you, to get you out of church, to cause a problem to take place. But we're on the right road when we walk with God. We're to be people of integrity and ethics and morals. And the only reason that we can be that way is by the grace of God. He has given us the unmerited gift of salvation, and He's at work in our lives to help us to live for Him and serve Him. We need His constant cleansing to have a holy walk that's steady and progressive, that's onward and upward and advanced till we get to God, to get to the mature individual we should be, the spiritual man, and then home with the Lord. And then we will be perfect because we'll get a new body. We'll leave this flesh behind and our salvation will be complete and we'll be with the Lord. That's our goal, and we should continue to walk toward that and try to make progress toward that. Enoch walked with God, and God took him. Like him, good men long to be better men. Men close to God, who walk with God, who have a testimony they walk with God. And we've been preaching on revival, and revival helps bring us back to that place that we know we need to be. It doesn't have to be a pew jumping, swinging from the chandeliers, emotional kind of thing. It's a consistent, dedicated spiritual maturity that God would have us to have all the time. But if we look in the mirror and are honest, we know we're not there all the time. We've got times we really need to make some changes. We really need to draw close to God. We really need to get back in the Word and in the study and in church and all those spiritual things that help us along the way. We must not be idle. It's onward and upward in the Christian life. If you look at the spiritual warfare and the armor that we're to put on in Ephesians chapter 6, the helmet and the breastplate and the loins girt about and the feet shod and the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, there's nothing for the back, because God doesn't intend us to turn back to the old way. He intends us to make spiritual progress, to keep going forward, and He will supply the need. Happy are they who are undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord or the Word of God. Happy are they in purity. Look at verse 9 through 11. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee, O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Nanette and Diane teach our young people in this children singing memory verses, either whole verses or portions of verses, and they put them to song and they quote verses. And memorizing scripture is a vital way not to commit sin, because we hide God's word in our heart so that we don't sin against God. Purity makes us happy. We all feel better clean than we do dirty. Now, I know some little kids that like to play in the dirt. They like to get dirty, but they shouldn't stay that way. They're going to feel better once they get a bath. Little boys resist that sometimes. I remember a kid lived in a neighborhood I was growing up, and they called him Dirt Dauber. He was about 3 years old, maybe four, and I mean, he was just filthy all the time. Mouth, he'd have, you know, where he'd been eating something, drinking something, and the dirt would be caked around. He'd be sitting in the dirt, throwing it in the air and playing and all that sort of thing. And Mrs. Carruthers, Mr. Pete's aunt, when he would go past her house — they lived in an old rental house down in the pasture — when she would go by his house, you'd see Miss Annie Mae, she'd have him by the ear. She'd be taking him into her house, and she'd give him a bath and take those old dirty clothes off and put a towel around him, and he'd go home holding that towel, walking down the road with his dirty clothes up under his arm, going home clean as a pin. Miss Annie Mae washed him up. Thank God in His grace, He lifted us out of the miry clay, and He washed us and made us white and clean inside and washed away all our sin and gave us everlasting life. We feel better clean. Joy and I have been doing some yard work, and I cut the grass and plowed the garden, and she helped me. We planted 18 tomato plants, and we planted a big row of cucumber seeds, and we went to the store, but they didn't have any plants, and we just had to plant the seeds. And I felt so greasy and grimy. I went in and sat down for a little while. I went and took a shower. I wasn't going to go to bed that night. I couldn't sleep, you know, that sweaty and dirty and all that. I felt a whole lot better after a hot shower. And I always feel a whole lot better after I confess my sin to God and know that I've been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ and everything's all right between me and my Savior. We know there are dangers in defilement and darkness. We know there are dangers that we would stumble in the dark and could get hurt. We know the dangers in the darkness of despair or depression. Listen, God wants us to have a positive attitude and believe in Him and walk with Him and get away from that danger of the darkness. We're happy to be in the Lord and happy on our way to a better land. We're happy to learn from His Word as we read His Word. Happy to be in the family of God. 1 John 3 says, speaking about God's love for us and Christ going to change our lives when He comes, it says in 1 John 3 that he that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself even as He is pure. So let's purify ourselves and get on the straight and narrow path. Our belief will cause us to live for the Lord. Thirdly, Happy are they in the Word of God. Look at verse 14. We see a word here used for the word testimonies. I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. Verse 24 says, thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors. So all of these, he uses precepts and statutes and righteous judgments and testimonies and the law and the word. All of these are references to the word of God. As God deals with us through his word, there are testimonies of God's word. It requires you and I to surrender our will and make choices to walk with God instead of choices to walk the broad path to destruction. Sometimes people in their will make wrong choices and they get a headbutt. They run into old proverbial brick wall, you know, because it's not God's way, it's not God's will. And they find that, they stumble along the way. God would have us to make decisions to choose to serve him. Eve and Adam were in the garden originally, and Eve was tempted by Satan. Adam just made a choice to be identified with his wife, to eat the fruit that she gave to him. But she was tempted to eat it. And while she saw that it was good for food and saw that it would make you wise, that wasn't the problem. The problem was when in her will she took the fruit and ate of it. And we face that all the time. We got temptation constantly. If you live in this present world that we live in today and you go out in the public arena, you're going to have moral temptations because of how people dress. People run around in public about half-dressed all the time. And if you get around the lake or anywhere like that, oh man, you better put blinders on, you know. Because folks will go out in public that way. If you had a past where you were tempted to alcohol, you got to be careful certain places that you go. Whatever temptation that you faced in life, that's a temptation to you. The temptation is not the sin. It's when you make that choice to do that thing that you're being tempted with that the real problem begins to develop. And the Word of God equips us with something called discernment. The more you know the Bible, the more you know right from wrong. And you won't fall into temptation because you know that it's a wrong thing to do and you want to do the right thing when you're walking in the right way. It's how God reveals his will to us by his testimonies or by his word. He shows us what he wants of us. A revival will help us have a zealous obedience for the word of God. To get back to where we were when we first got saved. Well, we just wanted to hear the word of God. And I remember when Joy and I got saved, I was 24 years old. I think it was 2 days before I turned 24. I'd go to church, and I didn't even care if the choir sang or anybody sang or anybody prayed. I wanted to hear the preaching. You know, I wanted to hear what the preacher had to say. I was learning some things I didn't know about the Bible. I didn't know the difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament, what an epistle was or an apostle was or the gospel was or anything else. I mean, I believed in Jesus dying on the cross, and I believed the Bible was God's word, but that's about as far as I went. And so the more I sat in church and heard the word, the more I liked it and the more I wanted more and more of it. And God has blessed me in that way that I was able to go to Bible college a year later and learn from his word. And then I've been in the ministry now for 39 years, and y'all see my library in the office. I spend a lot of hours reading and studying and preparing the messages that I preach, and that's a joyous part of being in the ministry. Now, counseling with you and your problems, that's the part that's real tough, you know. I don't mind funerals. I don't get any complaints from funerals. But weddings, that's a whole different ball game, you know. But I like helping God's people. And I pray every Sunday that God will help me to help you with the message. Because it's going to take him. He's got to work. It's his power we need. It's his word we need. It's not my funny illustration about falling out of the boat that we need. We need something from God. That funny illustration just to hold your attention so I can tell you something else about the Lord. I did fall out of the boat, but it cost me $300 so far with this new phone and all that sort of thing. We're clean through the Word. Psalmist said, "Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed to the Word of God." We're clean through the Word. We're controlled by the Word. Verse 11 says, "Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee." We're corrected by the Word. You think something's okay and you read the Bible and all of a sudden, that's not okay. I've been deceiving myself. I'm going to change my attitude about that. And then we're comforted by His Word. Verse 14 says, "I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches." That's a big statement, isn't it? All riches, but I rejoice more in the Word of God. Somebody said the Bible is God's book, and this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. I think that's a true statement, and I think it's something that we can remember easily to use. We learn to keep God's Word when we study it. We learn to keep God's Word here at church when we are taught. We learn to keep God's Word when we have devotions in our home. And we see the need of keeping God's Word when we live our daily life, day by day and week by week and hour by hour. We see how it applies. The dangers we face is when we're alone and away from anybody who knows us. There's where temptation comes. There's where there are dangers that we must be aware of, that we don't allow ourselves to yield to temptation. The arc of the testimony, folks that don't know the Bible very well, somebody was talking about men carrying the ark across Jordan, and they said, "I just don't know about that. There ain't no way that those few men could have carried the ark." They're thinking of Noah's ark, you know. That's a different ark. You know, there's another ark in the Bible too, and that was a little basket that Moses was put in, a little ark in the bulrushes. But the ark of testimony was what the priests carried, and the reason it was called the ark of testimonies was because inside it were the tablets that God wrote on with His own finger, the law of God. Well, you see, friends, today God's laws are written in our hearts. As Christians, the Holy Spirit lives within us, and He guides us in understanding the Word. He guides us in what is right and wrong, and we live for God through that way. Keep His testimonies. We're also entrusted with the care of God's Word. It's our responsibility to keep God's Word and to pass it to the next generation. Revelation 3:10 says, "Because you have faithfully kept my word, I will keep you from the hour of temptation that will come upon all the world." Fourthly, happy are they who hear from our blessed Lord. You and I are privileged to live in this generation and privileged to have God's word. God has chosen us unto salvation. He has given us His word that we might have faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We live in this age. What a blessing it is not to have been born in the Old Testament time frame. God's made the way of salvation for all men. Your redemption through Jesus Christ. Now, you heard about that from somebody. Many of you, it was your parents from the time you were a small child. They sat you down and had a devotion with you. They told you about the Lord. They talked to you about salvation. And they didn't push you about that because they wanted you to come to know the Lord at the right time. At the time that God was dealing with your heart. Or you heard it at a church. Some of you could have been a bus kid that got on a bus and went to church and you heard the gospel. I remember before I went to Bible college, I was driving a church bus and teaching a Sunday school class, and I had these five kids that lived in one house with a single mom. And every Sunday morning I'd go inside their house, and they were in their bunk beds, and I'd get them up and dress them and feed them something and get them out to the bus and all of that. You know, the mom was very much in favor of that. And I was anxious to get a lot of kids on the bus. I saw these two boys standing on the side of the road. I pulled up in front of them. I said, you guys going to ride the bus today? They said, yeah, we're supposed to ride a bus. It wasn't you that talked to us. I said, it's all right, come on. They got on the bus, and I took them to the church. They were supposed to go to the Church of God that day, you know. And I took them back home, and I talked to their mom afterwards, and they came every Sunday from then on. They liked the church bus, and they liked the junior church. You heard the gospel. And like the people of Samaria, there came a point in time where it was not just somebody telling you what you needed to believe. The people of Samaria in John 4:42 told the woman of Samaria, now we believe because we have heard him for ourselves. They came to see this man that she told them about. And when they saw Jesus and heard him speak, they believed on him themselves. And that's what must take place. You've got to have that personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And that comes by you putting your faith in him. In 1 John 1, it says that we've heard and seen, declare unto you that which we also may have fellowship with us and with the Father. So believing on him gives us fellowship with God and with other believers. Now, Amos the prophet spoke about a future day, what we call the tribulation. In that day, and it could be starting at any time, we're seeing the effects of it already. Iniquity's already at work in the world today. Amos said there's coming a time from God where there'll be a famine. It's not a famine of bread nor a thirst for water, but of the hearing of the Word of God. And we're seeing a little of that taking place today because folks have itching ears to hear what they want to hear. And so because of that, they create ministers. The Bible said it'd be like priests, like people. The people would influence the priest. He would tell them what they want to hear. We see just a taste of that today. It is leaving aside the Word of God to tell folks what they want to hear. A seeker-friendly ministry today often teaches more psychology than it does Bible. I want you to know it's not Dr. Feelgood that you need to hear from. It's God that you need to hear from. It's the Word of God. It's not me. It's God's Word you need. There's an anemic society today when it comes to the knowledge of the Word. That's why false teachers can have so many people, because those people lack discernment, something that helps them choose right from wrong. The power of positive thinking. Well, the Bible's all about faith. It's good to have a positive attitude, but some of these teachers that teach the positive mental attitude can stretch the Scriptures far beyond what the Bible is really teaching. They'll take a speck of truth and then take it out of context, and they satisfy the flesh that way. Celebrity ministers are selling self-help books that have very little gospel in them. Revival will bring us back to where we need to be, in line with the Word of God, having a desire for God's Word, a desire for His testimonies, a desire for His precepts, a desire for His statutes, enjoying the Word of God, growing because of the Word of God. Paul wrote to Titus, he said, speak thou the things which become sound doctrine, so the men and the women and the young people will be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, behavior as becoming holiness. Therefore they would not be drinkers or gossips, but teachers of good things. Sound speech, uncondemned. The Christian should be apt to teach, ready to teach others the way of God, knowing the way of salvation, that we might show others how to be saved. He said to him, speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. Last of all, happy are they walking with God. In the Psalms, we walk in the law of the Lord, or walk in the Word of God. We seek Him with our whole heart. We do no iniquity. We walk in His ways. We keep His Word, that He might direct our paths and guide us in fellowship with Him. We need that habitually. We need that consistently. We need that characteristically. And we need that circumspectly, which means carefully. The walk we're on, friends, is like a journey through a forest. There are dangers there. You can step in a stump hole in the woods if you aren't careful, where a tree died and the leaves have fell and you don't see the hole and you step in that. I went up to my hip in my own yard in one of them. We got 6 acres out in the country. That's why it's like that. Where we live used to be a pasture in a forest. I think I cut 120-something trees to put the home there. And one of those rotted away, and I didn't know it, and I stepped there, and I went down to my hip. I called to my wife, and I got out, and I didn't get hurt. Praise the Lord. But you got to be careful walking in the woods. It's a journey. You know, there's snakes in the woods, copperheads. Our area has a snake that is poisonous called a copperhead, and copperheads can be mean. They usually leave you alone. They usually run away from you. But if you aggravate them in some way, they'll strike you. And they can strike the full length of their body. They don't grow but about 3 feet long, but they can strike that far. And their bite would put you in the hospital to get a treatment, or you'd be in bad trouble. There's dangers out there. So we're to walk circumspect or carefully. We live in this life, there's temptations around every corner. We want our young people not to be put into positions where they are led astray, and we need them to walk carefully in this life. We're to walk in good works. We're to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we're called as Christians. We're to walk not as the Gentiles in the vanity of their mind. They're alienated from the life of God. We're to walk in love as dear children and follow God. Let's line up behind Jesus this morning and we'll walk in the right path. Let's put Him first in our life. Let's stand together. Thank you for being here. God bless these folks, I pray, and meet their needs. Help us to honor Thy Word. Help us to love You and love Your Word and put it into practice in our lives daily. And Father, we pray that You'll deal with hearts now in this invitation. You know the needs, so speak to hearts today. There may be some folks that ought to join this church. There may be some that need to be saved. There may be some that have been saved and need to be baptized and make it public and become a part of the church. Whatever the need may be here, Father, You already know it. So deal with hearts, we pray, by Your Spirit. And we yield ourselves to Thee in Jesus' name. Amen.